The following show is intended for a mature audience.
Nope, not for the kids.
So if you're underage...
Go to bed.
Easily offended...
Get over yourself.
Oh, you got a gigantic stick up your... You, might want to go do some needlepoint or something.
It's the Gentle Silverwing Show, an online gaming radio with our very special guest... President of Sony Online Entertainment, John Freaking Smedley!
It's time to ditch your anchor, it's time to throw the fight, it's time to rant and rave, it's Gentle Show tonight.
It's time to kick your feet up, tune in and waste some time. You're gonna waste 2 hours on Gentle Show tonight.
Hey there, dwarf!
Hey, Jesus!
It's like a tragic tale, all the crazy things he makes us
do. I'm just glad I got my ale.
Get it started!
Back off! I got it in a tongue, I'm not afraid to use it!
Well, it's time to get it started on the most sensational, entertainical,
rhythmical, practical. This is what we call Gentle Silverwing Show.
Oh, we're gonna get sued by the ghost of Jim Henson. I know it.
Hello everyone, this is the Jethel Silverwing Show for July 26, 2011. I am your host, Jethel Silverwing. With me as always, my love, my girl, the Burning of Malloy's, the Taylor of Armors, the Baker of Cookies, the reason we have a mature audience warning at the top of the show, Elka and Jenna!
Hail and greetings.
If you'd like to join in on the mayhem, you can join us on the in-game chat channel. That's OGR on the Antonia Vale server, which is up and running 24-7, where the OGR elite come to meet. Also, today, if you'd like to join us on our offline chat channel, you can go to onlinegamingradio.com, click the little link at the top right that says Chat Live, enter your handle, and chat with us live. Okay, normally we have a big old spiel and stuff like that, but I really want to get on with our, get started with our very special guest, John Smedley, president of Sony Online Entertainment.
Hello out there.
Hello, John. How are you today?
I am doing great.
Excellent. All right. So we're going to get right to the point here.
And by the way, I want to apologize right in advance to all the listeners. If you hear things in the background, I'm doing this from my house, and that means that at any moment, one of my four children may jump in here and do something obnoxious, so sorry if you hear them yelling. That's me dealing with life with four kids and a wife.
Life with four kids and a wife. There could be some child abuse going along live here on the Jethel Silverwing Show, which actually is sadly not uncommon. You didn't hear about the time I beat my computer to death, did you?
I did not.
Oh, yes, we had a time about 6 months ago, right? I beat one of my mouse to death with a hammer, and then I stomped a hole in my second computer. Live over there, baby.
Wow, that's anger.
We take all the sharp objects away from him.
Wow.
All right, so let's see here. John Smedley is the president of Sony Online Entertainment, the founder, I should say, the author of EverQuest.
Author might be a strong word, but it was
one of the creators.
That's probably a better way to put it.
Okay.
It was my idea originally, but the game, Brad and Steve, really came up with the core ideas of it all.
All right. And how difficult was that? I mean, coming up with a game, you know, basically the first of its kind, wasn't it really?
No, you know, it had many predecessors. It had its roots kind of in a combination of DQ MUDs in Dungeons and Dragons, and you know, there were predecessors like Meridian 59 and probably Ultima Online, but when we started it in March of 96, UO hadn't launched, and those other games, you know, were very small. So it was the first, you know, real big really major scale MMO aside from UO.
God, I remember trying out Meridian 59 too.
You know what? Meridian 59 had a lot going for it, and you know it's funny you look back on that stuff now, and it really was a pretty cool game. Just it was older, and back then, you know, we surpassed it with a lot of features that it didn't have. But honestly, you know, those early games were a lot of trial and error from some teams that really did some amazing stuff.
I hate to say it, I never could get into them. I tried Meridian 59, I tried the Ultima way back, and I just went, well, this is just really not for me.
And I can honestly say I never tried them at all. To be
honest. Oh my god.
I got my first computer that actually belonged to me in 95, and I was playing stuff like Phantasmagoria, and I was caught up on America Online, and I was just really doing live action role play and stuff like that. I mean, EverQuest 1, or just EverQuest, I guess, was really my first introduction to MMOs.
Well, see, I played quite a bit of an MMO, it's hard to call it an MMO now, but called CyberStrike. That game is what gave me the idea to even want to do online games. And I played the heck out of it. When I got married back in April of 94, I guess I should know that, right? when I got married back in April of 94, we hadn't lived together before, and we started living together, and my wife saw the first month bill from Genie back then, and it was $3 an hour. It was $600, and my wife, it was like, okay. So let me get this straight. You play an online game, and it costs us $600 a month.
Wow.
Like, yeah.
Wow.
And that was an education. I guess it worked out okay, though.
I remember a friend of mine was in college, and he built his own, God, I don't even know what you call it. It was a text-based thing. You can dial in with a modem. But it was kind of like Dungeons and Dragons, but it was all text-based. What would you call those, a MUD?
Yeah. There's MUDs, and there were some early BBS games that were, I would classify them as MUDs today, but really, you know, they weren't even good enough to be called MUDs.
No. You had so many turns, and then you had to wait till the next day to play again.
Ew. Oh, yeah.
Wow, that sucked.
Oh, yeah.
Well, nowadays, that's called social gaming.
Yeah. Pretty much. All right, let's see what we got here. We do have some questions from our audience. Elkin, while I'm organizing these, do you have any... why don't you go ahead and chat it up with Smed here for a little while.
Well, the only thing I was going to bring up is the fact that when you think about games like those back then and you look at the games now, one of the biggest changes that I've seen is the dynamic content in games where players actually can influence the game. Like the Othmir village, you go in and you do the quests, things change, the leadership changes, there's objects that appear now when you get through with the quest. I think they started doing that with the pandas. I just think it's amazing. Just absolutely amazing.
And we think that is the future of MMO gaming.
Yes, you're changing your online world, and I think that's great. The only problem I have with it is if someone, a friend logs in and is like, hey, I'm doing this quest you were telling me about the other day, but I can't find this NPC you were talking about. Where is he? Then I go out to help him. I'm like, I couldn't tell you.
he's gone now.
He's gone. I can't see him. But he should be right there. Well, he's not. Well, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, that's why you use good places like XAM to look it up again.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that because, really, back when EverQuest 1 launched, there was no real good source immediately, to do all that. You think of all the different websites that are out there now, and every single piece of content is there literally before the game goes live with a patch. And I gotta say, I personally think that that's sad. It's great for newbies, but it's also bad because that sense of mystery gets lost when literally in the patch notes or, on some website, every single quest is already pre-listed.
That's why all the new stuff I will go ahead and try until I get absolutely stuck. Then I will go, okay, let's go find out where I'm really supposed to be. But majority of the time lately, out of all the quests I've been doing, they're pretty intuitive. They sort of point you in the right direction anyway.
Yeah, I mean, well, that was one of the things.
Quite a few I have not had to go look up stuff before.
Yeah, that was one of the things with EverQuest 2 that really kind of ticked me off at first, because I was running EQRangers.com at the time. And, you know, we were the group that first completed the very first walkthrough for the Ranger 2.0 Epic Quest in EverQuest 1. And it's like, we get here and it's like, okay, I gotta start my fletching guide, you know, shaft and blah, 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 blah. Wait a minute, I don't need it anymore. We have recipes. Okay, well, yes. let's do this. No, it's already provided for us. So, you know, it is good. I do enjoy it very much. Kind of put my website out of business, though.
Well, it's interesting. That's an interesting comment. And I will say, one of the larger mistakes I think we made going from EverQuest to EverQuest 2 was we made the decision early on that we were not going to be putting spoiler information out there. We wanted to have Station Players be this big website. And I think it kind of hindered, I know that it kind of hindered the growth of a lot of the fan sites, because really what we've subsequently really thought through is that's a very healthy thing for those sites to the fan sites to help put that stuff out there for people.
And, for players to be able to put in, you know, tips and tricks along with what they've got too.
Absolutely.
Those I always found more helpful than just the guide. Is what do other players experience in doing this, or you know, what other suggestions do they have, you know, from doing it?
Well, that's one of the reasons I like XAM.com and what they're doing with the quests and stuff like that. What they're doing is they'll put out a whole list, you know, like the
Golden Path.
Yeah, the Golden Path. You would have the Golden Path, and you know, if you looked at the individual quests, you would go, oh, by the way, if you do this quest at the same time, you can knock them both off at the same time. Oh, all right.
Yeah, it's tips like that are helpful.
Yeah, it's very helpful stuff.
It's funny because one of kind of the core things that we believe about the future of not just EverQuest, but of our games in general, is to make sure that the interface is intuitive enough so that you never feel stuck. And you should feel stuck in a situation, like, for example, let's say you had somebody giving you a riddle online. I think that's okay to present a challenge, but we never want a challenge that people feel like they're stuck with interface-wise because we did a poor job implementing something. Mm-hmm. We want them to have a tough time, you know, conquering the monster or figuring something out that's part of the challenge to begin with, not fighting the interface to, like, oh, you know, you have to put these three things in exactly the right order. That's not fun.
No,
and that actually popped up quite a bit in EverQuest 1.
The text interface. My God, you know, just the way we did questing. But, you know, it's easy to look back on that now. Back then, you know, when we were first implementing this stuff, remember that it had its roots in mud, so a lot of that stuff was very text-based to begin with.
That's something I almost forgot about. Well, trigger words for quests.
Yeah, well
to further them, yeah.
But it was nice when the trigger words started showing up in brackets.
Yeah, it made it a little easier. What about the bow? What about the...
Yep. You look on that and you're like, oh my God, that was amazing. And then looking at it now, it's like, you know, it's kind of sad.
God, I remember in EverQuest 1 getting killed so many times. I was, for a Wood Elf Ranger, it was kind of odd. One of my my roommate soulbound me in Rivervale because Misty Thicket was just a better place. was just a better place for experience at that point. And I kept doing the Goblin Necklace quest to raise faction and stuff like that. And you would go in and talk to the sheriff, and the trigger line was, I am one with the... No, it's, am I one with the wall?
Of course, kept typing, I am one?
No, I kept doing, am I one with the wall, but the problem is, if you didn't hit enter first to get your cursor going, you ended up attacking the sheriff.
That's actually one of my favorite memories of EverQuest, is simply how easy it was to just outright die immediately, you know, one hit kills.
Oh, yeah.
Because you accidentally attacked a guard because you didn't hit enter and you hit A or something like
that. Yes, I did that. Mm-hmm. I moved my attack key real quick.
Well, actually, the default attack key now is Q.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. The stuff you learn when, you know, by watching a bunch of players do it, one of my favorite memories from EverQuest is watching all the players. Remember that tree in Blackboro where
you
go in? And it was just fun just standing there and watching people go into it. It was entertaining. It's amazing how many people, very first thing they do, oh, look, I can go in there.
Yeah.
And bam.
Hey, look, it's a hollowed out tree. I wonder what's in there.
That has to be. That happened to be one of my Uber rescue moments. I was like a big buff, level 20, and somebody fell down that hole, and I went and got them and snuck them out of there. I thought I was, you know, hero-esque.
Okay, I admit it. I used to sneak around to the back side of that stump and drop an item so it looked like a little bag.
Really?
And
I had never thought of that. You're evil.
And then people would go in trying to pick it up.
See, it's funny because I'm pretty old school when it comes to death mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
I actually much preferred EverQuest once, and I'm in the big time minority on that, and I realize that. But I believe in challenge. My best moments in EverQuest were corpse runs.
Yes,
exactly. That's one of the things I really miss in EverQuest 2 is, like you said, some of the best times I ever had were doing corpse runs. And in EQ1, of course, EQ2, of course, you had the soul shards.
I don't like.
I do miss those, and honestly, I wish it would just be an option. It's like, well, do you want to revive? Do you want to do your corpse run, or would you rather just resurrect? But have there be some sort of penalty, because at this point, there is no penalty to death, you know, with the exception of your mending cost.
Well, we have gone to a place where people believe that mass means easy, and I'm not of the opinion that that is true. I think people are more than happy to have a challenge. And the reason that those runs were so great for me wasn't because it was fun to do them by myself. It was fun to get people to help.
Yeah,
that was when it's fun. There's nothing fun about losing, you know, a couple of levels to doing that. But
think of all the tactics that were created around corpse runs in different zones too.
Yep.
Yeah, see, I like that.
All right, hon, what else you got?
Well, I was going to bring up one thing. You know, over the past weekend, we had a lot of the world events happen, and the most amazing thing I saw was we had on the AV server 9 instances of the Great Divide going. We had 2 instances of Third Again going. And, you know, I had a raid group situated in the first instance of Great Divide. So all of us, we had a couple of them sitting there as our anchors so we could come back to the same zone. So, you know, all of us are going back and forth doing this fetching quest. So when you're going into Thurgadin, all you can see is a stream of people flying, running, leaping, you know, jumping, you know, to get down to get to the beer and the picks, and then heading back out. I mean, and it was just incredible watching all these people work together in all these zones to bring it to a head, this one event. And it was you know, when you sit back and you think about all the people doing that all at the same time, it was just, wow, that's really cool. Everybody's working together for one major goal.
There have been a lot of really good, you know, kind of advances in that sort of thing. I think, you know, Warhammer did some good stuff there. I know we've done some good stuff, and recently Rift, I think, did some good stuff in it. I really like the idea of, you know, either server-wide or what I would call zone-wide, although hopefully, in future games we don't plan on using zones per se, but more like geographical areas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that whole feeling of doing something with other people for a common good is or a common evil, frankly, is a lot of fun.
I just think it was amazing.
Sarest from the Antonio Bale server comments here, Thurgadin was looking like Coruscant with all the air traffic going on.
It was funny.
Yeah,
I got an idea of what an ant felt like, you know. It was like, oh, everybody's going and going back, and going in and going out.
That's funny.
We had a blast. We did.
All
okay, right. So you can go along with your questions.
All right. We have a list of questions here that were given to us and submitted by our fans. I got a few of my own here first. Let's see here. What was your favorite in-game moment? It could be from any game.
So, my favorite in-game moment is with... So I have four kids. I've got my son Patrick is 14. My daughter Catherine is 13. No, I'm sorry. My son Patrick is 16. My daughter Catherine is 14. My daughter Emily is 11. And my daughter Rose is 10. My favorite moment is playing with Emily and Rose in Free Realms the very first time they ever logged in, because that was their second online game. The first one they played was Club Penguin, but that was the first game they played with me, our game, and it was a really special moment to me because I got to literally, like, we've got a lot of computers in our house, as you could probably expect, and my daughters were in two different rooms, and with me in my study, and literally all logging in together and chatting. That was, it was magical because, I don't know, they're so cute, and just playing with them is a lot of fun for me.
That's great. Do you ever get any fangirls or any fanboys who just go, oh my god, it's mad, you know, like at fanfare or anything like that? You still get that?
I do not. As fangirls especially, I do not. I'm, you know, it is, at fanfare, people may recognize me, and probably because they've been there a few times and they've seen me talk. And, you know, people will come up to me, but it's not, it's not quite, I wouldn't call it fanboys. I would call it people that love our games. And that's a lot of fun.
So it's, so it's just me then?
It's just you. So, it was just you.
I see you coming down. I'm telling you, I tweeted or I called Elquin like the first night of fanfare. It's like, oh my god, I'm walking down the hall and Smed stopped me and go, oh, you're Jevil. Oh my god.
Oh,
you
yeah,
recognize
you mean,
me.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of funny because I've been doing this a long time now, and I made a lot of games before I made online games, and it's a different feeling. You know, when I was making sports games, which I hated, I despise sports games. I hate football games. I hate hockey games. I hate baseball games. I hate sports in general, actually, and I hate the outdoors. But
man after my own heart.
Yeah, when I was making games, those kind of games, there, you know, there was no such thing. In online gaming, it's different. You go someplace where there are other fans like you, and you know, you get to kind of know people, and I love that. I love that feeling, and I love seeing people at fanfare that I recognize from year to year. You know what's cool about fanfare is we've been doing them so long now that people are bringing their kids that weren't even born when our games launched, which it blows me away.
Yeah, I noticed that with you know, walking around the main gallery at fanfare, and I kept having the same thing to say, oh, look, a level one reader. Oh, look, a level one reader.
Now, I will say my favorite moment by myself in an online game. So I will confess to your fans right now, EverQuest 2 is not my game of choice. It is actually Planetside. I'm a shooter. I love shooters. And, you know, I played the living crap out of Planetside and was really... Then right after that, I got into Battlefield 2 and got into playing that competitively. And, like, that was a 4 to 5 hour night, you know, suck of my life kind of a thing, and playing in a clan competitively was just so much fun.
Well, that's why you got to be a ranger. Then you can go around, you know, on a PvP server, so you can just go around shooting people from a distance.
Well, you know, that's the other interesting thing about me is I will confess I cannot stand PvE. I hate it, and it bores me to tears. The only thing I want that rush when somebody attacks me out of nowhere. That's me. I love cooperative PvP. That's a lot of fun, but it's just a, you know, kind of the way I like to play personally. And, you know, the PvE enjoyment I get, like, you know, I was playing Portal 2 with my kids, co-op mode. That's fun. I like that kind of stuff, or I like playing StarCraft 2 cooperatively on a team, but that's still a PvP experience. I'm not wired for PvE stuff.
You're not the only person I've heard say that. It's that unknown rush when you play PvP of never knowing who's going to be attacking you next, sort of edge, that
that's
makes
exactly
the game for them.
that is the game for me is, you know, in this generation of MMOs, and I'm being real specific with that, you know, the mobs aren't very smart. You know, basically there's aggro and there's all kinds of cool AI that we put into them, but they don't get you the challenge that another player does. And, you know, I think that's something that we plan on majorly working on in our future products, but it's, you know, for now, it's not the same as being ambushed by, you know, five guys that want nothing more than to, you know, trash talk you. You know, I love that.
Okay, it looks like we actually have a question in the offline chat channel. Let me see if I can. It says he has a DC Universe question.
Sure.
Let me get him to ask his question here. Okay, Mr. Lightman in our offline chat channel says he has a question about DC Universe. Why don't you go ahead and ask that while we deal with another question, and we'll get to Mr. Lightman's right afterward. Okay, so we have from Kupendur of the Bazaar server in EverQuest 2, and he asks, would it be possible in the future, do you think, we could transfer adornments from one item to another, even if it's a small fee?
So, it is possible. It's not on our schedule. So, you know, trade skillers make adornments, and if the players can reuse their adornments, then that's going to steal the audience from the trade skillers. I don't think it's high on our list. So at this point in time, I would say we're probably not going to do it, but it is something we could do. Sorry to, you know, tantalize people and say we could do it, but we're not gonna. You know, it's in this case, I just want to be blunt with people.
Okay. And I just, you know, as I'm reading these, I would like to remind the audience that Smed is the president of Sony Online Entertainment. He does not have direct oversee of all the games. So, like, you know, EverQuest 2 has Dave Jordanson. I'm not sure who the who's managing DC Universe, but
a guy named Lauren is out in our Austin office. Lauren Jameson is in charge of that. It's the way it works at SOE is for Dave Jordanson is doing all the EverQuest franchise. He's doing EverQuest, EverQuest 2, and EverQuest Next.
Oh, I didn't realize he was doing EverQuest 1 too.
Yeah, he has. He has been for a while now.
He's the EverQuest go-to person on all.
He is the EverQuest go-to guy. You know, I can answer a fair amount of questions, and luckily I've gotten some of these answers ahead of time from Dave.
All right. Well, Mr. Lightman is asking some pretty specific here. I don't think you're going to be able to answer this. You'd like to know about two things, really. One being the hard light powers. Any ETA on release? I'm not sure you can answer that one. And new power sets. Any clue when those would be available?
So we have a update coming called Fight for the Light. It is paid DLC. It's coming in the near future. I don't want to give away the exact date because in DCUO we're not able to 100% say when that is because we have to get approval from SCEA and SCEE. To release the PlayStation 3 versions, you know, even when they're finished. Quite frankly, the version is done, ready to go. Just we have to get final testing approval.
Right. And of course, with something with DC Universe, you also have, like, you know, DC get approval on that, don't you?
We do, but all that stuff's already been done. We just simply, you know, we're in the final testing phases of that stuff. The exact date, we're not. We have an idea when it is, but. We're not ready to lock it down. We will let people know ahead of time, though.
Alrighty. And let's see. Next one here, we have Wars Shial of the Zegany server on EQ1.
Wars Shial.
Yes, Wars Shial. That's your buddy?
Yes.
Ask, if I listen to this show, will I get any free stuff?
Well, my first question is that a, you know, Robert Jordan, is that Wars Shial, like, from the Jordan universe, from Wheel of Time? It sounds like it might be.
I have no idea.
No.
No? Okay. Interesting. My answer is, I wish we could do that, but sadly, no.
Okay.
However, you do get the enjoyment of listening to you guys.
Hey, there we go.
That, to me, is worth the price of admission, which is free.
We give a shout-out to Warsaw.
Yes, we do.
Shout-out to Warsaw.
Hi, Chris.
All right, next one. Let's see here. Flamewing ask, and for some odd reason, he thought he was going to get banned from the forums from asking it publicly. I don't know why. I'm serious. If you go to the official EverQuest 2 forums and go to my post about you being on the show, he's like, well, I did have a question to ask, but I'd probably get banned. I'm reading the question, and I have no idea. Why is solo hunting or killing experience so poor compared to instances, raids, and dungeon crawls, which typically need groups? Are there any plans to increase the overland experience?
So, I wouldn't say that it's poor. To me, it's great. It's just that in groups, it's better. And the reason that I say that is kind of our thinking behind EverQuest and EverQuest 2 is that these games are made to be a group experience. And you know what? We've gotten some knocks for that and people saying, well, it's not as easy to solo. Well, look, you can solo absolutely in our games. And it's just the whole game is better in groups. And so we reward that better.
I think you guys have it pretty well balanced. If you want to solo, you can solo. If you want to group up with a couple people or a whole group, you can.
I feel that way too, but not everybody agrees.
Well, things do roll faster when you're in a big when you're in a group or with a couple other people because you have that much more firepower to knock down whatever you're doing compared to you doing it by yourself.
And personally, I'm a soloer, and I've had no problem leveling up. Of course, you know, just keep in mind, if you're going to be a soloer, my advice is do quests. You're going to get a lot more experience and a lot more loot doing it that way than just flat-out hunting.
See, I think you're dead right. That's exactly how I feel.
All right, so let's see what we got next here. Our next one, well, actually we had one in the channel here, in the in-game chat channel. Trista from the Antonia Bale server raises her hand and says, what is the thought behind creating a third form of the EQ legacy? Why not go in the direction of something like a new storyline and world? I'm thinking she means, like, why didn't you go with, like, WoW's Cataclysm or something like that?
Well, yeah, I think I understand the question. And the simple answer is that we have a completely new idea for the world of Norrath. We have something we don't want to... It's not something that we could just easily build into EverQuest 1 or 2. You know, these are games that people play. Like, EverQuest 1... Yes, it's changed, but it's still kind of the same core game, and EverQuest 2 is the same core game. With what we're doing with the next EverQuest, we don't want to... The experience is going to be very different and revolutionary kind of different, and we want to make sure that that lives in its own place. And you know, just to be clear, the next EverQuest is not meant to be set, you know, in a particular time. It's more like... Think of it as, you know, the recent Star Trek movie was kind of a reimagining of the Star Trek universe, mm-hmm. with the same, you know, core characters, that sort of thing. That's kind of what we have in mind, but something really radical, and it's going to be awesome.
And just for the record, Smedley and I did talk before the show, and that's pretty much all he can say about EQ Next. So consider that when asking your questions. See, we do have a question here from... I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly. Chuina. Can we give crafters a better chance to compete with the store-bought appearance gear? As a jeweler, I feel I should be able to create things that'll show others my skill. So I guess she's asking, what's the possibility of having crafters make the appearance item?
So our intent is with the store is to give variety, not the best items in the game, and the intent is always to make the crafters very relevant, in particular in EverQuest 2. I think, you know, we put a lot of time and effort into the crafting interface and in general to the trade skills, and we want to make sure that they have some of the best stuff in the game. I think the question is kind of leaning towards saying, hey, we can't make as good as stuff. And what I would say to that is there's probably always going to be some element to that feeling, but we always strive to put in, you know, awesome stuff for the crafters to make them relevant in the game.
Okay. Well, there was all that formalware that just came out. When you build your faction up with the Coldanes, that's all if I remember right. I know I've got a bunch that I did when I got from doing the shawl quest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bunch of formal wear, and it's really nice stuff.
I think it looks great.
Our intent with the marketplace is to put variety that you don't see in game, but to make the in-game stuff cooler, just to make some of the marketplace stuff cool too, and people that want to choose that route can do it, but you don't have to.
Okay. All right. Next question is from our own Talaru of the Antonia Bale server. She's on the she's in the Legion of Kithacor. And she asks, why does Sony set up zones that require a higher set of gear to overcome than actually drops in the zone?
So my answer to that is we should. And I think in our last update in GU60, we had some release that was a little bit too formidable for the gear found there. Mm-hmm. We fixed that as quickly as we could, and that we don't feel like that's the situation any longer, but the answer is we shouldn't.
I'm running into that situation right now, so I kind of know what she means.
I went and I
did all the public quests, and I got the best public quest gear I could, but in order for me to continue on with some of the instances like the Ascent and pools and stuff, when they're looking for characters to join their group, they're always asking what your critical mit is. And in order to increase my critical mit, I have to get yellow adornments for my gear that I really don't want to spend the shards that I'm trying to save to get the better gear like Rygor on gear that I'm going to be throwing away here shortly as soon as I have enough of the shards. So it's sort of like...
And then that goes back to...
Pre-productive,
right.
I'm spending the shards on armor I'm going to throw away, so I'm up enough that I can join groups to go and try and save up more shards for the gear that I really need, so...
And then it comes back to, can I take these adornments off and reuse them?
Well, you wouldn't want to reuse the ones that I just got. I mean, if I was spending 10 shards apiece for the yellow adornments to get...
Yeah.
Some of my critical mitigation up there enough to be acceptable to groups that are going into these shard run instances. I'd kind of like to try not.
Just to let everybody know, we are in the middle right now of re-itemizing all items from 20 to 90. And we're going to make the content in the game a lot more valid for the loot chase. And that's something that's going to happen. And, I mean, it's fair to say that what you're saying is both accurate and something that we want to fix.
And there's also going to be the re-itemization where you can take a sword that has, like, dexterity, but you want strength. You're going to be able to retool it soon.
Right.
Is that correct?
I'm not sure on that one. I'd have to check with Dave.
Yeah, that was in my notes from Fanfare. Okay.
Yeah, that's what they said. Yeah.
All right. Kanda of Oasis has a multiple part question. She asks, what's your favorite class? So we'll go ahead and answer that one.
Swashbuckler.
Aha. What development in EQ are you most proud of? What can you look at in EQ and go, wow, we did a great job on that?
Is the question, what am I most proud of, or what do I think, as the company that we did well? Because I got to say, in my opinion, the tutorial was probably about the best part of it in terms of getting new people into the game. I know that's not going to be a popular answer, but the reason I'm proud of that answer is because even though a lot of, EQ1 players were like, yeah, why do I have to go through this stupid thing? We were able to get a lot of new people into the game and really get them through content and understanding what an MMO is, so I felt good about that. But I'm probably proud of that for the reason that EverQuest 1 was, let's face it, a very hard and arcane sort of thing to get into, and we really wanted to go out of our way to put some polish in there. So I'm also proud of the great job that I think we did with the questing and the voiceover. Now, could we have done better? Absolutely. I also like the Battleground stuff,
and probably trade skill instancing in general, I think was pretty well done, although certainly lacked a lot of polish when we launched it.
All right. And the last part of her question is, would you like to come help me in a trade skill instance for my Rygor armor book?
I do not think that I would be of very much assistance, is probably the simplest way I could put that.
Would you be more of a hindrance on that one?
Hindrance would put it mildly, you know.
Are you saying that you're glad that the trade skill machinery does not kill people anymore for this very reason?
I'm good at killing things. That's what I'm good at.
Mm. Okay, well, we have a question here from one of the EverQuest X, the EQ2X server. Do you have any suggestions for individuals that are interested in getting into the MMO business and possibly be as great a success as yourself?
This is a good question because it's something I feel really passionately about. I'm a big believer in kind of working your way up. I started my gaming life when I was 18 years old, programming video games. I was a programmer originally, and I worked my ass off. If you want to be in the online gaming business, I guarantee you, you can be in it if you have even a modicum of talent. You just got to be willing to work your way up. So what I would do is I would apply. It's easy to get a job as, you know, customer service rep or a QA rep. That is almost exclusively where we hire our people from. I like the fact that at SOE, we promote heavily from within. And mostly that works out well because we get people who have been on the front lines either of bugs or of customers, and they work their way up. And it works really well. So apply at our company. That's not just me saying, oh, just go apply. You know, it's we're really good about getting passionate people into our company. And people that want to eventually find a way in by getting to know somebody on the dev team, emailing, corresponding, then they let you know when there's a job opening. It's a great company to work for, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, Brass is a great example of that.
Perfect example of that. In fact, I personally was the one who wanted to get her in. It's people in our community very frequently end up working at SOE. It's the kind of job that you got to want. You have to want to be in the business, and it is a enormously fun and rewarding position to be in, making games. It's not always what people expect. They think that they're going to come in and like a tester. All kinds of people say, "Oh, I get to play games all day." Not exactly. No, you get to repeat the same bug, you know, 50 times in a row, trying to figure out what causes it. That's not fun, but that's how you pay your dues.
Yep.
So, you know, I'd encourage them to go for it. Anything is possible.
All right. So let's see what we got here. Andriella of Antonia Bale server asks, "When will Planetside 2 beta be open?" And she also comments that she's very appreciative of the interaction that we players get with the SOE team.
So first off, thank you for being appreciative. And we certainly do our best. I don't think the players realize that this is not just a part of our job. It's actually a part of what we like about the jobs that we have. I thoroughly enjoy interacting with players. I actually answer almost every email that that I get. And I know the dev teams feel the same way. We don't always get nice emails. And more often than not, if a person can write sort of a relatively, you know, decently worded explanation of something, even if it's a problem, we will both answer it and do our best to fix it. You know, sometimes we get flame mails. I don't even mind those as long as they don't, you know, not a bunch of cuss words. I don't need to read that.
Yeah.
And you know, that part can be tough sometimes. But on Planetside Beta, it's going to be up sooner than people think, but I can't give a date yet. And we're hard at work on it right now.
And speaking toward the flames and stuff like that you get once in a while, just so people know, I did receive quite a few more questions than we're going to be asking here, but some of them were just downright rude, and I'm not going to do that. I don't go there. I think more than once, and I told you this off the air, I got, "EverQuest 2 sucks, what are you going to do to fix it?" Yeah, I'm going to say that to Smet. Come on.
I don't care. They can say, you know what, if somebody thinks EverQuest 2 sucks, then I'd say, you know, okay, great. rather than telling me what are we going to do to fix it, tell me what you think we should do to fix it. You know, people out there that have that just want to be negative and say, oh, this game sucks or this is a problem. Great. What would you do to fix it? Tell me what you want. We can't, you know, we're not, we're giving you the game that we think is great. And if players need more or want different things, we just got to hear about it.
I mean, that's one of the great things I love about your team, and that's not me kissing ass. I do not kiss ass. That's one of the things I think is great about the EverQuest 2 team. We bring up stuff on this show all the time because we know some of your development team listen on a regular basis.
Oh, God, yes.
And I don't say, like, oh, this is wrong, that's wrong, what are you going to do about it? You know, I always try to give constructive criticism. It's like, you know, this isn't really working out how I think it should. This is how you can make it better.
People would be surprised to know that most of the team actually plays the game. And there's a list a mile long of things that we're working on. And we've got, you know, X number of people, X amount of time to get things done in. And, you know, while there's all these things wrong, we also have to put new content in, or one of the things that's quote unquote wrong is we're not putting content out fast enough. So it's a very interesting thing that we have to manage, the player expectations versus what we know we got to get done. And you know, there's always 10 million things to get done.
Okay, see what we got next here. Da-da-da-da. I have no idea what this guy plays or where he's from, but he says, Sean Guy, that's the name he used, asks, 1, would you please consider bugbears or AVX as a playable race? Please consider an option to mail more than one item at the same time. And his final suggestion is, tinkered hand grenades with a knockback effect.
Okay, so for the first question, would we consider bugbears or AVX? Yes, we would consider it. Is it going to be anytime soon? Probably not. It's a lot of work for us, and we've got other stuff on the plate. Mailing more than one item. This has been on our wish list for a while now, and we avoid it because there's the mail system we have now needs some upgrading, and that's got to be done first, kind of the foundational layers. But we've got a few other things in mind ahead of that. So, you know, I understand that the ability to send multiple things at a time would be cool. We just need, frankly, we need to upgrade our mail system. And the last one, the hand grenade idea, it's a very fun idea, and we put it on the list.
That, and a situation like that is also, you know, I was saying for a long time on the show, I would love to see exploding arrows.
Oh, God, that's like a staple of D&D and every other fantasy in general.
And a year after I suggested it, boom, we have exploding arrows.
You know, it's really amazing. The people that make these games play these games. We're in this business because we love it. It's fun. And, yes, exploding arrows, badass. So are hand grenades. So, you know, these are the kind of things we want to get done. And it's fun when we get to do some of them.
Okay, now before I continue with the questions, I need to ask you something on a professional level.
Uh-oh. Sure.
Would you officially declare that Lyra on the Antonia Vale server is indeed a Frostfell elf?
Lyra, oh wow.
You saw her at the fanfare. She had a Santa Claus hat on and the Frostfell backpack, and always going on about Frostfell. She just said in the chat channel, I am not a Frostfell elf. I need you to officially declare that Lara is a Frostfell elf.
But that sounds like she doesn't believe she is one.
Domino's believe she's a Frostfell elf.
Ooh, now you're making it hard for me.
The chat channel is going wild right now. Do it! Do it! Yeah!
We have a book in the guild hall.
Officially a Frostfell elf.
What's that?
Congratulations. She's officially a Frostfell elf.
There you have it.
There we have it. Now,
that's the final decision, by the way.
Okay. Now, what I want now is for Elkin and myself to be quiet, and I want you to officially state, Lyra is a Frostfell elf.
Okay. Lyra, you are a Frostfell elf. Deal.
Now I have it. I'm going to record it, and that's going to be a hotkey on my sound effects board. Lyra has been officially declared a Frostfell elf.
There you go.
Okay, now on with the questions here. And I realize you don't have all night to spend with us, so I'm, people who have submitted questions are probably noticing I summarized your questions. A lot of them were very long-winded. So let's see here. Mattia asks, I know your kids play Free Realms, but they're also looking, are they also looking forward to any other newer titles that are coming up? And if so, which ones?
My kids have the advantage of, and heavy disadvantage of, living with me, so they get to see a lot of stuff before everybody else does. So my son is particularly looking forward to PlanetSide 2. My daughters are looking forward to some cool stuff coming up in Free Realms that we haven't told fans about. And I have not even shown my own children EverQuest Next. That's how quiet
we're
keeping.
Wow.
You haven't even shown your kids?
I have not shown it to my kids. It is something that I'm keeping from them because one never knows. My son is a little too prolific. He actively plays EverQuest 2, and although I trust him to keep his mouth shut, I'm going to ensure it.
Damn, I was going to try to get them on the show for next week.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see here. Again, I hope I'm pronouncing this name correctly. Mykei, I guess. Will EverQuest 1 ever see an offline bazaar like in EverQuest 2, where you don't have to be online 24/7 to sell something?
We're doing some R&D on it, and I can't promise it yet, but it is on the list.
All right, on the list. Let's see here. Jack, who is Calthine's husband from Sam.com, I'd like to know if SOE is going to continue to trend of free-to-play with premium memberships rather than subscription-based on their games. Is that the future?
That is a very interesting question. So, the short answer is yes, we're going to continue free-to-play in the future. And could we move some current games that way? Maybe. There are no immediate plans to with EQ2 or anything like that. In fact, we're happy with what we got with EQ2. Could we do it with other games? Maybe. We're really talking about this stuff for our future games. That's kind of where our current thinking is mm-hmm. going. But we have some other games like Vanguard that we're exploring some stuff with, and we're looking at maybe doing updates to that. In fact, we're going to do updates to that. But I believe this trend is going very strongly in this direction. And let me give some shout-outs to a game. It's not directly competitive with ours, but League of Legends. The guys at Riot Games are really, really good at what they do. And they did a terrific job on League of Legends, and they have a very interesting business model. It's kind of a different form of free-to-play. You literally, if you don't want to pay for anything at all, you never have to. If you just want to play free forever, you can. I like that business model a lot. Now, it's not such an easy business model to adapt to something that requires a team size that we've got and a complex MMO infrastructure. It's a little easier when you just got one game. So this is a constant subject of discussion. We are, and we have been, and people have noticed that we've been adding more and more microtransactions, but I would like to balance that by, in future games, looking closer at the subscription piece of that. And I don't know if one size doesn't fit all. Not every game will have sub. Not every game will have one particular business model. But it is something we're looking at.
All right.
People get the station pass for what, $20 now? They can play all the SOE games.
Well, actually, we've so you're right. You can play for $19.99, or you can even pay us, if you pay for a year, it's $14.99.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you break that down per game that Sony has to offer, that's just, incredible.
We think so, too.
A couple of bucks. That's an incredible deal.
Well, it's funny because, our plan is to put that into other games as well, and we're looking at some non-SOE games out there right now, so I think it's a pretty good bargain, and it's something that
we think is cool, because you can have one sub, let your kids play Free Realms, you play EQ2. To me, that's a great bargain.
It is. It's fantastic. Okay, we do have a comment here from Chedrella of Antonia Vale Service. She's also a member of the Legion of Kithgore. She really loved the cherry blossom trees and stuff like that were put out for the Japanese recovery support. And she would like to actually see them bloom until the disaster in Japan is officially declared over. As a reminder.
I think that's an excellent idea, and I will talk to the team about that. It's kind of an interesting one, because at Sony, you know, I go to Japan all the time, you know, every 3 months until that disaster happened. And that really hit home, you know, that the some of our friends and our colleagues in Tokyo, you know, they have family affected. There was a Sony factory actually that got, half filled up basically with the floodwaters. It's a tough thing. So anything we can do to help support them, I think, is something we want to do.
I'm getting a question here from Autotune on the Butcher Block server of EverQuest 2. I'm not sure you know the answer to this one. Let's see. Question about the PlayStation 2 EverQuest games. There's a PlayStation 2 EverQuest game?
There is. EverQuest Online Adventures.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Such as Champions of Norrath. Okay. Will we ever see a import adaptation to be playable on the PS3?
I can't say no to that, but I can't say we're actively working on it either.
Okay, so maybe.
Yeah, I would put that on the doubtful, but possible.
Okay. Let's see. We did touch a little bit on stuff that happened in the live events.
Yeah, we blew that real bad. Sorry, there's nothing to do but apologize that we screwed that up.
Yeah, but I will say this, Jininja came in.
Oh my gosh. He was
in there for hours and
he
hours.
He was
and
a
hours.
Hero. 6 or 7 hours on a weekend.
Well, there was some. You know what? We have a great team, and look, you know what? It's we made a mistake. And our goal is to not let that ever happen again. And I apologize for that.
Well, the main focus is that, you know, first of all, it was something that everybody was doing together as on each server as a main goal, which was, I think, fantastic. And then Jininja was in there trying to make things right afterwards, respawning the mob, and personally taking each person and updating them if they had the quest. For, 6-7 hours on a weekend? I mean, that was just above and beyond the Call of Duty.
That was fantastic, a fantastic response as far as I'm concerned. Instead of just taking it all down again and just scrapping it or something like that. Sony tried very hard to fix the matter as best they could.
And that's the thing
about. We
really
appreciate that.
You guys at Sony. I mean, okay, mistake.
No, thank you.
But you guys always try to make things right in the end somehow. Just people need to have a little patience with you guys and hang in there and have faith.
Well, you know what? And I appreciate that. I think we also just. We had egg on our face from that one. It was embarrassing. And, you know, let us just apologize. Fix it so that on a go-forward basis, because we want to do more live events. It's exciting. It's fun for us to watch. We know the players love it, and we just need to make sure that mistakes like that don't happen.
And we know you guys will fix things.
Okay. I do have a few questions here that were submitted after I had already given you the questions to look for answers.
Sure.
So let's see here. Lazaretto from EverQuest 2/Vanguard says he's a longtime EverQuest and Vanguard player. Can you comment on the plan for Vanguard going forward? Does Vanguard have a future?
It does have a future, hopefully a bright one, and we expect to be doing updates for it. We are in the middle of actually assigning personnel to that and executing on that. So we're going to make that plan clear to the Vanguard player base, and our goal is to kind of, you know, start pushing Vanguard much harder. We think it's a great game. It's complicated just based on the people that we have in the company. Some of them that are key to that are working on other things, and some of the people we lost, and I don't, you know, I don't mean in any kind of a layoff or anything like that. I mean they've just simply gone from the company, so it's a little harder than it first seemed. But we've got our hands around it now, and we're actively working on it.
Okay. I know personally that was a that was something I was hearing a lot at Fanfare when they were giving the saying the goodbyes to Star Wars Galaxies. A lot of the scuttlebutt was, is Vanguard next?
It's not. And, you know, it's interesting because Star Wars Galaxies, it's a very different scenario there because the game isn't, it's licensed. And with EverQuest, for example, EverQuest Online Adventures for the PlayStation 2, most of your players, if not all of them, have probably never even heard of it. Never got a huge sub base. It was a bit of an experimental title. It was done, released around the same time they released the network adapter for the original PS2. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of, to say it's ahead of its time is being polite. And, you know, that game is still up and running. So we never made, the only other game that we've ever turned off was The Matrix. And Matrix, you know, was not our title to begin with. So, you know, it just never got really off the ground. We didn't make it.
Right.
We just got it as part of the DC deal. So our core EverQuest titles and Vanguard now, which is now our title, are not things we want to turn off. It's our intent is to run them for as long as they're, you know, physically viable. Mm-hmm. At some point, if you're not updating the game, you just have to keep the lights on the servers and keep doing CS. This is different, though. With Vanguard, we think that there's a real possibility to bring new people into the game, and we want to do that, and we want to update the game and make it add some new content to it and fix some other things, and I think people are going to be pleased.
Okay, well, that brings me to this, to this point, and it's a subject that I tend to bring up every year at Fanfare, and I always get different answers to from different people. Advertising.
Sure.
I the last time I saw an EverQuest ad was when the Plane of Knowledge was released, and I was watching Independence Day. In a movie theater, and I saw an EverQuest trailer. I'm like, yeah, I play that game. Well, that was the last time I've ever seen any advertising.
Oh, there's advertising all over the place. There has been for a long time. You just have to kind of be in the right place to see it. And it is something. It's interesting because when our existing players are complaining about advertising, it means that they want to see more people come into the game. And so we have a very good ad program that we're scheduling for later this year with EverQuest 2. I think you will be pleased with it, and you know we have a lot of cool. We want to bring a lot more players into the game.
So I'm telling you, if it's a matter of needing a video made, ask Eloquent; she'll do it.
Oh no, we've got got great assets, and in fact, we're around the launch of EverQuest 2X, we did a really big ad push with it, and so it's out there. It's more and more of that stuff's going online now, into different sites.
Oh yes, I do see banners up for EverQuest 2 quite a bit, but just I really don't see anything offline.
Offline, aside from maybe in the future, for other games and maybe EverQuest 2, you know, TV, you're not going to see a lot of offline stuff. The days of spending money on print ads are over.
A trailer in the movie. Something like that. I mean, Sony Online Entertainment is an offshoot of Sony Pictures, isn't it?
We were. We're no longer. In fact,
no longer.
No, we're part of. I report into a guy named Kaz Harai, who runs the PlayStation Group.
Ah, I see. Because my comment was going to be, hey, just tell the guys at Sony Pictures to throw us in a movie once in a while.
Yeah. Well, there is still an EverQuest movie. In development. It's not in, you know, terribly active development, but it actually got to the stage where there was a script and everything,
really?
And it's still potentially going to be made. We'll see. I don't know. It's.
I actually thought you guys had just given up on that. We haven't heard anything in years.
Yeah, it's what we worked at. We were at Pictures for, I think, I want to say like 8 years, and it was an on again, off again sort of a thing, and
you know, we all have dreams in our head of, you know, Lord of the Rings and Hobbit and that level. You know, we want to make sure we're not making the D&D movie.
No.
You know, or that's the problem.
If the EverQuest movie involves a Wayne brother, I'm going to protest. I'm sorry.
Depends on which one. You know, Damon? I don't know, man. That might not be such a bad thing. No, I'm kidding.
No, the other guys, that's, though. Oh, God.
Starring every Wayne brother we can get a hold of.
Yeah, what was that midget movie that they made? Little Man or something?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I don't actually think the EverQuest movie, it certainly is not, you know, it's, even though it's not a big active movie right now, I think as we come closer to the launch of EverQuest next, that subject's going to come up because, you know, the kind of marketing that we're going to be doing around that title will be epic. So it will be, you know, that's the time that talk probably gets resurrected.
Right. Now, here's my idea for you.
Okay.
To pass on to whoever does these things. And Elquin and everyone in the Legion of Kithacor know this was coming up. Bloody Kithacor, I think, would make a wonderful friggin' movie. And you can tie it into the release of the Kithacor Zone.
Interesting.
Yeah, he just...
This Christmas, hell breaks loose in Norrath. In a world.
Yeah, it's going to be a... I'll put that one down on the list.
But yeah, no Wayne and Brothers, please.
No Wayne and Brothers.
No Wayne and Brothers, no. Can definitely do without them. All right, so let's see here. I have been getting quite a few tells from people, and a few times in the offline chat channel. I think I already know the answer to this, but is there any possibility with the return of Freeport and the revamp of Kinos to come, can we expect the return of the islands? The Islands of Refuge.
I gotta be careful how I answer this question. Maybe it would be the answer that I would give. I'm not really sure where Dave is gonna land on this one.
Right.
So let me save that one for him to answer.
Personally, I think the current tutorial system out in Hollis is good, but I don't know. I got a problem with lumping everyone in one area. I think if you're going to be a Dark Elf or just choose an evil side in general, you should start in Freeport.
So this is an interesting philosophical debate, too, because I prefer the old EverQuest 1 way of doing things, where you have a lot of different starting places and radically different and by race. In fact, I would love it if it was by race, by class. You know, to me, that would be the ultimate. Our goal long term, and, you know, I mean, we have a lot of stuff planned for EverQuest 2 for a long time to come. And our goal long term is to, you know, really redo the new player experience and let people start off in, you know, Kinos and Freeport and make them these awesome quest hubs that give people a huge reason to go there. And we think that's the right way to do this.
I think so, too. I think that'd be great. Especially if you can possibly do it class-wise. I mean, that would be fantastic. One of the things I really do miss was, you know, you'd get to level 20, then you'd have to choose. Do you all want to be a ranger? Do you all want to be a bard? Do you all want to be a rogue? I thought that was fantastic, and then it got taken out.
Well, you know, it's funny because the problem with MMOs is that over time, we have to change the game based on the player base that's coming in. So think about a game like EverQuest 1, which is now, you know, 13 years old, and you're talking about it's radically different than it was at the start, and the mass of the user base moves both in level, but they also move in age, they move in time in their own life, so they can play a lot less or more depending on their life circumstances. So we have to adapt the game to kind of the audience that we have and the audience that we want to attract. So it makes it for a really tough, you know, when you go into a newbie zone and you see it empty, that's not a good experience in MMO.
No,
so we're
not
trying to fix it so that that's, you know, solving that problem is not easy.
That's actually one thing that's really heartbreaking for me. I mean, I loved EverQuest. Until EverQuest 2 came out, I loved EverQuest. I mean, I was playing 40-plus hours a week in EverQuest. And then every once in a while, I log back in just to see how things are going, and it's empty. I go to Rivervale and the Commonlands, and there's like, if I see anyone, they're just traveling to go somewhere else.
It's weird, isn't it?
It is. So I think, you know, write this one down. I think the old starting areas should be revamped to be high-end areas.
So we've actually talked about that, and those are the kind of things that I think you can see in as games age. You want to reuse content. Some of that content just needs to be redone. Some of it's bad. God, the original Kino Zone, I can literally just remember it like it was yesterday when we were making it, and you know, we used this horrible tool that was just hideous to make that zone, and the guys that made that stuff, you know, had never made games before, and using this horrible tool, it was amazingly difficult to do, and what they got out of it was truly amazing. So it's an interesting problem that a lot of, you know, when you're making Madden and you're on the, you know, Madden 2012 is an awesome game, or 2011 is an awesome game, but it's not the same as it's not the same as, you know, players in those games. They keep playing the same static piece of content. Maybe there's some DLC, but they don't, you know, then the next year they go to the next Madden. That's the same is not true in our games, and it's quite a conundrum for us to be able to go back and redo content.
And I just have to comment, because this is the Gentle Silverwing Show, I'm sorry. I had to mute my mic for a minute because I was cracking up when you were talking about EverQuest being 13 years old and going through many changes. And the only thing going through my mind is, yes, it's getting lumps and hairy in different places.
Oh, yes. It's got nose hair, ear hair. It's balding. It's
EverQuest 2 has to go to EverQuest 1 and give it the talk.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's had that talk time and time again.
Oh, brother. Okay. Let's see. Well, you know what? I'm pretty much out of questions here. Elkman, do you have anything else for John?
Not that I can think of.
Anyone in the in-game and offline chat channels, if you have anything else here. I know you didn't want to spend all night here with us, so Lyra says we need cube mounts. Lyra has a thing for gelatinous cubes.
Cubes.
I thought she just wanted to talk about her being a Frostfell elf.
That too. I know. Since you have to go to Japan so much, can you say something in Japanese?
Yes, I can say hi. I can say kid and beer.
Okay, we didn't say it
really. By the way, I'm really good at that last one. Kid and beer. I can say arigato gozaimasu. And that's kind of it. You've gotten my entire repertoire of Japanese out in one short show.
Nice. Katira, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, on the Oasis server has, and this is a kind of a self-serving question, does Smedley listen to the Jethro Silverwing Show ever?
This is my first time being on it, but what I do hear, I'm on Jethro's Facebook, so I get to see a lot of the songs, which I enjoy.
Excellent. And I understand your I understand that your kids saw me singing the night Smedley went Uber,
and they cannot unsee that. They cannot unsee that.
That
was the setup. It was perfect.
Did you have to see any of the other videos we've done recently?
Recently, once, yes, I have. I'm trying to remember the names of some of the songs because a lot.
The rolled this way video that we played.
I saw that one. In fact, I saw that one for the first time on those massive screens in at the fanfare. That was so awesome. That was actually really cool to see. I think people really got a kick out of watching that video. I think there's a lot of people get a kick out of seeing fans make stuff, and I don't know, that to me is the ultimate fan video.
And we had a great, and thank you so much for allowing us to show that to the fans. I mean,
forget that. Thank you for making it. I mean,
you could thank Brass for that, asking me.
Yeah, she told me that
story. 3 days? It's like,
yeah, we normally take a month. We normally take a month to do these things, and she's like, oh, yeah, pump it out in 3 days, okay?
The reason why it takes me so long is because of lighting in-game. I have to wait for the sun to come back up. I only have so long between shots before I have to wait. We lose lighting.
I don't know how you did that much of that fast. That was nice.
Well, we crammed real hard.
The last one we did was
the Fly Away. The betrayal song?
Yeah, I did a song about betraying from Freeport to Kinos. And, you know, a real inspirational song. Kinos being, you know, oh, it's my new home and I have to go there. Will they like me? And stuff like that. So we did a video to that one. A video was done to it a couple years ago. People are always thought, you know, we mentioned my character Cheez-It, the Rutanga. People always considered it to be Cheez-It's betrayal song from when he left Freeport to go to Kino, so we decided, hey, let's remake the video using Cheez-It.
And with the use of personal flying mounts, it made it more creative.
Instead of just shots of Griffins from the Griffin Field and the Thundering Steps.
To me, the idea of fan-made videos in general, I think, is a really good... It's the ultimate honor for us, and I don't know, we enjoy watching that stuff. And some of it's downright funny, but there's also a lot that actually touches us that people don't realize. When we're making these games, you make them in a vacuum, and the cool thing about what we do is that you immediately get to see that, you know, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, fan reaction, you know, like that live event thing. That crushed us, and we knew we'd screwed up right away. It was like, oh man, you know. But at the flip side of that, people can, when we launch a new expansion or a big great new update, people get very excited, and we watch the boards, and people get excited to play. And I don't know, that's fun. It's what we live for.
To point on that, if EverQuest didn't touch us so much, I wouldn't have over 200 songs on the website.
Yeah, see, that's. To me, that's what we work for. It's to get people that excited.
And most of my stuff isn't funny. I classify it as parody because I'm basing it on actual songs. But a lot of it, if you listen to it, like I have... I labeled one Narathian Pie. It was based off of American Pie. It's basically about the lore of the game that cracked Lucklin, the moon. And that's a very serious song, but I did it out of love for the game. I just love it. And, you know, I mentioned up on stage, and I know when I met up with you and your parents at Fanfare, I expressed my gratitude to you. If it wasn't for EverQuest, Elkin and I would not have met.
Aw, thank you. I'm so happy
we met in EverQuest 1.
It's funny. I hear a lot of those kind of stories, and that to me is... the ultimate testament to the kind of the social glue that these games make, and I don't know, we're just happy to be part of it. I don't know if you guys did you guys know that our general counsel Andy Zaffron, he hates it when I tell this story, he met his wife exactly the same way.
That's
I didn't know
cool.
that.
Yeah, and it's funny, we've had some interesting things over the years. We've had a divorce too, from somebody I won't say who, but meeting somebody whose significant other ran away with somebody they met in game, which is awkward considering they helped make the game. But we've had so many people that met in this game. To me, that's so awesome.
And I'm getting a message here from Torin on the Antonio Bale server. He says he and Uriel, I'm not sure if they're married yet. I don't think they are. Wouldn't have met if it wasn't for EverQuest 2.
Oh, well, thank you, and I'm glad that they met. As long as they're glad that they met.
And let's see here. I am getting a question or a comment, actually, saying it would be great if there were lower-level flying mounts. Again, that's something for Dave, but perhaps something you can write down and pass him a note.
Here's what I would say. We face a problem, and over time, when we lower stuff, then... all the people at the higher levels say, well, back in my day, we had to
get to 85 for that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now you're giving it out at 40, and they get pissed. So it's a battle that I don't think we can win. We will piss somebody off no matter which way we make the decision. So we do our best on that, and lots of times our best is just based on sort of where we think.
Well, they do have flying mounts for higher-level crafters, but they don't have to be high-level adventurers.
Well, we put in leapers and gliders to try to get people that feeling early on. It gives them something to strive for. So, you know, I appreciate the comment, but we try to be as good as we can about nailing that, and we're not always perfect.
Yeah, and another comment, of course, I was actually going to save that for if we can ever get David Jordson on here, is more lower-level content was a lot of comments that I was getting.
You know, it's interesting because I think people will be pleased with future updates. That is something we plan on specifically putting in. You asked the question about advertising. Well, we want to put in more cool stuff for lower-level players to play. And that's kind of, you know, that's in the future.
Happy Meals. That's what I want to see.
You can already...
two Happy Meals.
We've got them for Clone Wars, and we chased that for so long. McDonald's is an amazing company, and it's not so easy to get into Happy Meals. Let me tell you. But they are huge, though, once you're in them. It's having a great impact on Clone Wars.
And I can tell you, as a fat guy, it's hard to get out of a Happy Meal, too.
Jeez.
Hey, you know, it's kind of funny because I use that the fact that our company is now in a Happy Meal to as a reason to go to McDonald's because I really needed another reason.
Company support. Eat a Happy Meal today. Yeah,
that's exactly it. Well, I didn't eat. I ate three.
So what did we learn this week? We learned that Kithacore needs to come back.
We always think, say that.
We learned that Lyra is a Frostfell elf.
Lyra is indeed officially declared a Frostfell elf.
I wish we had a certificate.
Well, we could probably make something up.
Yeah, Domino could probably whip something up for her.
She could probably knit something.
There you go.
And probably pretty amazing, and then put it into mass production. She's a crafter in real life, and she's probably one of the better cooks that I've ever met too. She came to my office one day recently to give me some kind of pudding that had Guinness in it, and to take my two favorite things and mix them together. Oh my, that was a fun day for me.
Yeah, she Facebooked about that Friday, I think.
Yes.
I am getting a comment here from Autotune from the ButcherBlock server, who I'd have to assume is a bard, commenting about tutorials. Is it possible to use the same method as Dragon Age 2 tutorial, where the character starts off with their most powerful form, to teach a player about the class, and then have the new player, quote-unquote, wake up, and then start at level 1?
That's a very interesting idea. So the problem that I see with that in MMO is you get a taste of the most powerful form, but you don't have the interface skills to utilize all the power. So, if you need a tutorial, you probably need the interface explained. You know, otherwise you just want to bypass it. It's kind of funny because right now one of our mandates is to try to build tutorials into gameplay so that a player is never put onto a trial for the Isle per se. It's more about learning through the early game. And, you know, I'm really proud of the work that we did in EQ2. You know, that island I think really helped a lot of newbies get into the game. But I want to do it in sort of a less artificial way, in a way that players feel like, oh, they don't even realize they're learning.
Right.
Not the big, hey, hit the W key to go forward. Well, most people know that. It's really more about game-specific things.
Yeah. I mean, I remember EverQuest 1, the tutorial was actually a completely separate entity.
Oh my god, that was such a piece of work.
Yeah.
In fact, what was sad about that is, at one point, we lost the code to it.
Oh no!
And
oh,
yeah,
no.
So it was kind of a tragic moment, really.
The funny thing about it. Oh, go ahead.
Well, you don't think about this, but some of the technology that's advanced a lot is the backup mechanisms and sort of the source code repositories simply did not exist at any kind of decent level when we first made EverQuest. So we've lost a few things over the years. It's been an entertaining side effect of running a game. Because keep in mind that the players have played it for 13 years. We've been working with it for 16.
Right.
And think about your PC 16 years ago. Imagine that piece of crap.
That thing's gone and dead right now.
Yeah, so
you get the flower planter out back.
Yeah, that's the challenge for us.
Now, my suggestion for a new player experience, now we have mentoring right now, where you can go down to level 1 or level 5, whatever they are, and help them out. What about going the opposite way? City of Heroes has...
Yeah, I was going to mention that one. I think they did it well.
Yep, City of Heroes has sidekicking, where the new player is actually brought up to whatever your level is, and you know you're not the most powerful thing and stuff like that, but you have basic gear or basic abilities and stuff like that. I think that would be a really good idea. I mean, hey, let me show you what I do, and then you can work for it. It's like, hey, come on, let's go tackle that dragon. Well, I want to do it now. We'll start leveling up.
You know, it's an interesting question, because the same thing that I mentioned earlier about why we wouldn't, the power differential for starting somebody out early in a tutorial, I think, and it's been a while since, so I don't actually remember when we put mentoring in, the rationale behind this, but we had that discussion. I remember the discussion, I just don't remember the answer. And I think our guys felt like it was smarter to go down instead of up, because the newbie player didn't know what they were doing. However, if you ask me, I think I prefer it the other way, because it gives you something. If your friend is level 50 and you're level 1 and you're just coming in, it makes you feel more powerful. Not like you're gimping your friend. And nobody wants to be that guy that like, hey, I'll be the slow guy in the group. Yeah. And that's kind of a tough situation. So I actually prefer it that way.
Yeah, so I think sidekicking would be a good idea.
I happen to agree.
Excellent. So we can expect that within the year. No, kidding. Don't.
No, it's tomorrow. Tomorrow. It's coming tomorrow.
Okay, you heard it. Smedley says it's going to be active tomorrow. With the hot patch that happens tomorrow. Of course, the hot patch never comes, and well...
On Lyra, the Frostfell Elf server.
Okay, on the Frostfell... Actually, Lyra has her own domain. It's actually called Lava Frost.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole bunch of steam going on.
I thought it was Everstorm.
Everstorm, Lava Frost, but either way, there's snow and fire going on at the same time, so there's a lot of steam.
Having a lot of discussions about steam these days.
All right, let me see here. I don't think we have any other questions. Not that I can mention on the air, anyway. Well, I could, but not with you here.
Here's my answer. Why does EverQuest 2 suck? That was what one of your players asked. It doesn't.
It doesn't. There we go. Actually, you know what I think the answer to that should be? Why does EverQuest suck? You tell me.
Oh, I'm sure. Believe me, I've gotten those emails.
Yeah.
And I've answered many of them.
All right, let me see here. Let me just check my email real quick to make sure I haven't gotten anything. 19 new emails. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
No, there's too many to go through here. I don't want to keep here all night.
I've got a few more minutes if you want to ask a few more.
All right, let me see what I got here. What about this one? That is really long. Let me see if I can summarize this. Let's see.
He's reading.
I'm reading. Okay, I'll just read it out loud. Oh, you know what? This is pretty much just about what we were talking about. Because of work and military obligations, I have not once been able to play enough to get a max level. Is there any way we can get a potion to make me level 90 instantly? That's pretty much what we were just talking about.
Okay, well, here, I'll tell you what. Let me tell you guys about a discussion that we've been having a lot internally. And to be very clear, these are discussions. We're not talking about implementing anything, but there's always the debate going around, should we, allow players to make max level characters once they've already made one? That's an interesting debate. And, there's a lot of positives and negatives. The positives are it allows people, if they want to just hang out with their friends, they can do that. The negatives are, they'll be idiots because they haven't played enough and they'll suck with their characters. I mean, we understand it both ways.
I have to agree on that part.
Sure. And you know what? just about any player that gets to high level will agree with that. Your friends who are newbies and level ones and want to play with you, but they can't for, you know, a long time, feel otherwise. Now, we have experience potions that can help you, you know, get through the lower level content faster. And frankly speaking, you know, we've made a lot of changes to make that lower level experience smoother and faster. So I think if we change it to where you can just bam, you're instantly high level, what's the point?
Well, you know, my argument there is that I know people who have created and leveled a 0 to 90 character in 2 weeks.
Right. It's not that difficult.
It can be done. It's not that difficult to level up a character. The hard part comes in learning how to play the character and gear them up properly.
Mm-hmm. Buzzing through all the content is not going to teach you how to be a good healer.
No.
Well, I'm an interesting case study in this because I don't believe that the goal is to be 85. I think the goal, to me, playing is a journey, and it's the experience with my friends that, you know, I get there. It's ganking newbies. It's, you know, I mean, God, what makes my day go better than that? It's, you know, it's the feeling that you get by experiencing the game. It's not, oh, you know, to me, it's not about the ding. It's about having fun. And I guess maybe different people play for different reasons, but that's kind of what
it's
I
not
like.
It's not getting to the end. It's the journey getting there.
No, I like slow leveling and just enjoying the gameplay and being online and chatting with friends. That to me is what makes these things fun.
I mean, that's what I do. I mean, the only reason I level up quickly is so I don't have to go hunting anymore. I'm more into the role play. I log in and I just chat. Some days I don't even leave my house in game. I mean,
I'm a big time role player. That's actually, so I'm an RP PvPer, and that's kind of I'm big time into the, you know, when I'm playing, I don't like to go out of character. That to me is fun. That's actually why I don't prefer Vent or TeamSpeak when I'm playing these kind of games. If I'm playing FPS, of course, mm-hmm. I do. But, you know, usually that's because all the bad stuff I'm saying I don't want recorded on the in-game chat.
And for a list of Smedley's main characters and all the results, you can find those at kitthecore.org/nowayinhell.
Right there, yes, in capital letters.
No, that is the reason Smedley is not with us in chat, and I am respecting his decision to not reveal his characters. We don't want people ganking him.
Yes, it's that simple. I will be endlessly harassed.
I mean, I can't imagine being Brass, because her character is Brass. On the crush.
You know, I don't get that. There are a lot of people that put their characters out there. For me, my character is a separate persona from me. I'm not trying to be me in the game. You know, I want to do something completely different. And, like, I have to be nice and friendly all day. And sometimes when I go on, I just want to be like, oh, look at that guy. I'm going to kill him. And with 10 of my friends.
You know, and you know, that is a huge problem for me because, you know, Jethel is kind of a duality. I have all the parodies and stuff like that, and I have the show, and people expect me to be all nice. But Jethel in game is a demon. He'll fuck you up.
And see, to me, that's the fun.
And that was what was very strongly proven the last time somebody betrayed the Legion of Kithacor. You know, she wanted to leave the guild because she wanted a different lifestyle. So, and Seeley, you know, out of character, we were like, oh yeah, that's fine. Well, how do you want to do it? Do you just want to up and leave? You know, leave a goodbye letter or something, or do you want to role play it? And she's like, well, let's role play it. All right. So we got together and I summoned her to the guild halls. Like, so I hear you've been convorting, you know, associating with the enemy and stuff, and she went off. She was like, Legion of Kithacor, you bunch of goody two-shoes, which, well, not a bunch of goody two-shoes, but she was just playing it up and stuff. I've been working for the Freeport scum and your arch enemies and stuff like that. Ah, you guys suck and all this stuff. And Jethel just picked her up and whipped her into the fire.
Yeah, see, that to me is fun. And but what's funny is the conversation out of game probably would never have happened with me, because if it's one of our games, I simply don't reveal who I play, even to our own staff. And it's kind of funny because it's not fun, you know, when I'm playing one of our games, I don't want our GMs to know who I am. I don't want. No, I don't. You know what? I don't want that. I want to play the game.
You want to be treated like just a normal player.
That's exactly right. And here's a shot.
I understand that.
Guess who hates the marketplace items? Me. I won't buy a marketplace item in any game. I won't do it.
You heard it here, folks. Smed does not approve of microtransactions.
Well, that's not what I said.
That's not what he said.
Okay, you don't like the marketplace items.
He has never bought any.
It's not me. It's I believe 100% in fact, I won't accept donations from other people. I won't, you know, when I'm playing, I earn every single dime my character makes. I don't believe in buying it. I play. I've been playing a lot of EVE Online lately, and you know, there's. I'm in. I will say that I'm in EVE University. On that, it's a great guild, and I simply will not take any kind of. I don't like donations from other players. I think that's bad stuff. So I won't buy my way. Now, if I'm playing. For example, I play a lot of Magic Online. Of course I buy there because that's the whole point of the game.
Right.
I did buy lawn cards, but I bought them to play, not for the loot.
Right.
So, you know, it's to me, it's just like a personal thing I have. If I'm playing a game, I want it to be a game. However, I believe strongly that Marketplace is there for people that do want to do those things.
If they want that choice, yes.
That's exactly it. Yeah, that's exactly right.
That has always been my argument every time anyone bitches about the marketplace. Oh, they want our money. And blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah, they're a freaking business, number one. And if you don't like it, don't use it.
I couldn't sum it up any better myself. And I've never understood the argument the other way. I personally choose not to participate in it because, like, what's the point of buying an experience potion to me? It's not, because I'm there to play, not to, you know, speed the process up. I don't want to speed the process up. That's me. Mm-hmm. I realize a lot of players have more money than time, or they just simply, you know, want to play with their friends. I'm different than that. And, you know, that's, by the way, that's true in every game I play too. I just don't buy stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's just a personal choice.
Okay. Well, before we end the night here with you, we do have some birthdays to announce. Of course, I posted the birthday trolls thing to your site, to your Facebook thing, not too long ago. And we do that every week here with people's birthdays. And we do have some birthdays to announce. Autumn Roselake, her birthday is this week coming up. Ryan Antonelli of SOE, his birthday is coming up. I think it's today. And Kanda from the Oasis server, who is in the channel right there, it's her birthday tomorrow, I believe. So, happy birthday. Sped, would you like to wish them a happy birthday?
Happy birthday to all of you, and, you know, hope you have many more.
Happy birthday to you!
Let's see here. Do I have any other... well, we normally announce deaths, too. The only one of note was really Winehouse. And Think of Me What You Want. It was no big surprise.
Yeah, that was not a shock.
No, I saw that on Facebook. Amy Winehouse dies of... yeah, no big surprise there. I'm sorry. Think of Me whatever you want. I didn't think she was going to make the year anyway.
I mostly didn't care.
Okay, people are asking me to ask about EQ2players.com or EverQuest2.com. It's actually the same thing at this point. A lot of it's broke.
Stay tuned, and stay tuned imminently for major revamp coming. Ooh. And it, in fact, I've been going over it with the team. It is very cool. We're doing it right. It won't be broken. It's going to be really, really good. So I think you'll all be happy with that.
Excellent. Oh, and people are asking me if Abe Vigoda is still alive.
Abe Vigoda. So you want to hear something funny? Abe Vigoda lives right by me.
Really?
Really?
Yes. For real.
That is awesome.
We check on his health every week.
And
if you go to his store life, yes.
Yes, it's he's if you go to store. I love fish.
Do you see him on a regular basis?
I do not.
You do not. Okay.
It's rare, but yeah, he must have some family out here. Because
I was going to say I would kill to get a soundbite of him going, "I'm still alive, damn it."
He's definitely, I mean, you can see the age on him, but it's kind of funny. Yeah, he's been reported dead before, but
yeah,
it's kind of funny.
Well, he has a website that we check that says he's still alive.
Abagoda.com is, so you can check to see quickly if Abagoda is alive or dead. Abagoda.com, let me bring that up. And it says...
Oh my God, this is horrible.
Are you looking at it right now?
I am. I didn't know this existed. That's horrible.
and it's a joke, all because he was reported, it was mistakenly reported by Time Magazine like 20 years ago that he died.
What's going to suck is when he does.
Yeah, really. Oh, God. Alrighty. John, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show.
Oh, happy to do it.
You rock so much. I'm serious.
Well, thank you, and so do you guys.
Thank you very much. And we're going to take a music break. And if you could stay with me just 1 minute, I want to do something with you offline.
Sure.
Of course, that could have sounded really bad for people who really know me.
That does sound bad.
But,
do I get to watch?
Hey.
I guess I'm not I didn't roll that way.
Oh, there we go. Okay, hold on a sec here. I actually didn't prepare for this, so I want to play The Night Smedley Went Uber as we go off the air. The Night Smedley Went Uber. We gotta make a video to that.
What my kids my kids have seen that me go Uber many times.
Oh! See, that could be the whole video. You with a belt in your hand chasing after your kids.
Yeah, my son is 14, or excuse me, 16 now, but he is 6'6".
Oh God!
And can definitely bench press me. So, no.
Well, that's kind of like Elquin's son. He's he's 19. He towers over me. I mean, God, when I was in high school, I was the tallest kid in my class.
Well, really?
And
did you live? In Riverville?
No. I'm not that short. I'm 6'2".
Oh, that's true. I guess I'm used to...
You're a tall guy. You are a huge guy.
Yeah, I'm huge. I don't know about tall. The huge part has come on later in life as I've eaten my way into my...
Well, you know what? I moved here to Washington, and I gained 150 pounds, and it's all because of Elkins cooking.
Oh. Let me tell you, making online games is not good for your weight. Let me just say that right now.
Mm. Although I will say... back when EQ1, when I first started playing EQ1, I lost 70 pounds because I was on the EQ diet. I was playing so much, I wasn't eating. I hadn't learned how to eat with, play while eating at the same time.
Oh, that's really easy. We did you guys ever see that? It was actually about WoW. It was, it was other games too. It was like Avatar. It was one of those movies about avatars, like Second Skin, I think, maybe. It showed some raid where literally the guy wouldn't even leave to pee. They would pee into a bottle.
Oh, God.
Okay. You know what? That's taking it just a little extreme.
Yeah, just a little bit. All right, Elquin and I will be back in a few minutes to wrap up for the night. We're going to play some music. Smed, thank you so much for coming on.
Very welcome. Do you want me to stick around, or is there...
Yep.
Is that it?
Stick around, because I want to get a soundbite from you,
sure.
If I may. And Elquin and I will be right back.
San Diego, EverQuest team working nights. Development and lore team looking for clean balance fights. When bursting through the door,
A surrealistic scene. The big guy armored up, his shiny helmet gleamed. He looked like he'd been through hell, or at least a plane of fear. Haven't seen him like this since after the fanfare last year. From underneath his cloak, a sword came into view. He swung and killed Grimlo and shouted,
"Mama, kill!"
The night Snazzy went over. Who needs bugs with hair like this? Going out looking for bad loot. Gets his job, gave his brain a little twist.
Grimwill held a shield from a box of their pizza and brandished a replica short short of Dax Siva. Smedley's eyes were wild and sunken in his head. He swung again, alas, the coffee machine's dead. If you could see one moment from his eyes, you'd be like a halfling looking at a junkyard pie. Grimwill held the bell, steadfast on his curve, but Smedley patched him up with a fatal nerve.
The night Smedley went over, left and right they fall to his blade. Stock options went through the roof, yeah, with only Smedley left to get paid. On the horizon the players were gathering wide. Why do they have to die? And the sword will slash and hammer to bash it. Where did his sanity go? Why, Sammy, why?
From out of the crowd, a team ventured forth to put an end to his murderous course. They readied their weapons as he ran into the room. Swords and wands and the rolling pin of doom. Now Smedley's bound up in a little white coat. He thinks he's in a dungeon with gators in the moat. The art team's all wounded and the dev team's deceased. Gotta start all over, releasing Everglass 3.
The night Smedley went over, the night the boss came unglued. Lawyers left, scratching their heads, yeah, quite a tizzy, no one left to get sued. The night Smedley went over, the night his mind came unfurled. Now he's scouting orcs and planning raids in his own world. It is all little fantasy world. It is all little fantasy world.
All right, and we have returned. We want to thank John Smedley one more time for coming on the show. We had a fantastic time. It was great talking to him. Very personable, a very friendly guy. Oh, he's awesome. What can I say? And no, don't send me any tells and stuff. I really do not know his alts. Or his main, for that matter. He says it's something that he guards very, very well. All right. So,
you sound like a robot. You guys both sounded like robots for a long time to me.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's your connection through Skype. As long as it sounds good on my end, that means it goes out good on my end. So I apologize for that. There's not really anything I can do. I mean, if it happens again, we could always just disconnect and reconnect Skype.
Yeah.
Address a comment being passed around in the chat channel. Abby from MCIS, abso-freaking-lutely. She's very yummy. If anyone knows...
I love Abby.
Is there any way we could possibly get her on the show?
It
really wouldn't do much good, because all we would want to do is ogle her. And, well, you can't see anything going on the show.
Yeah, couldn't see the drool on the mic at your end.
Yeah, but she is an artist, actually. She is a recording artist. So having her on the show would not be a total loss, because she can sing. Alrighty, well, we've had one hell of a day here. I just got my, well, not just, but earlier today I got my Tenebris Island.
Yeah, I was looking at that. That's bigger. It's bigger than the first one we saw?
Yeah, the main island is the same size as what we saw.
You sure? It sure seems bigger. The main island seems bigger.
Well, it looks about
the same. And then with the addition of the second island, of course. But yeah, it seems bigger, and the pond's bigger.
Hmm.
I think they enlarged that island a little bit. It seems larger than the first one I saw.
They did increase the size of the pond to make it swimmable. And if anyone would like to get up to that second island, you can go to kithacore.org. Go to the link for EQ2 up at the top menu. Let me go there. Go to kithacore.org. Up at the top menu, you're going to see EQ2. And then below that, you're going to see housing files. Go to housing files. Earlier this afternoon, I posted the layout editor file for the Tenebris Island, so it'll place two portals, providing you already have them, either laid down or in your moving crate. It'll place two portals at the lake, and then one at the island above. But you
I went to your place. You didn't have portals set out.
Well, you probably went here before I laid them out.
This afternoon, when I got home?
No, it was when I did the... when I saved the layout for that, I was actually in Ursins. But mine's up there now if you want to come take a look. I mean, do you have two portals? I can go into your place and lay them
out. I haven't got the island yet. I'm still debating.
Oh, okay.
I've got so many places now, it's not funny.
Yeah, I mean, I got the island because it's cool and because it was a gift. Thank you, Ursin, for that. Was again, well, I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do here, but it is a huge area, and it's mostly flat, and I think I can figure out something.
See, now that's my dilemma. You know, I have the Mistmore Manor.
Mm-hmm.
Crammed full of all my stuff, but I have it in there in such a way that, you know. So I'm looking at these other places going, you know, if I had the library, I could move all the books in there. I could make a garden out of the island and move all the stuff that I have for a garden out of the Mistmore place.
You know, everyone I talk to about this is going to make a garden up there.
Yeah.
I may put a diving board. Because if you jump from it and you do land in the pond below, you do not die.
Yeah, I was doing that in...
So it was like, whee! I'm going to miss. Splash right in the center.
So I like the fact that you can swim,
mm-hmm.
and you could set it up as a garden, you know, trees and stuff.
Yep.
Lay back and watch the sunset, and you can see both the moons up there. I wonder what the night sky looks like.
I have not seen the night sky here. Of course, there is no horizon. Let me see where the sun is right now. For me, right now, the sun is actually down, but there's no night sky. It's day. Because there's, you know, there's no ground to block the sky. To block the sunlight. So the most I'm getting here is a deep blue. But it's, yeah. And Kanda on the Oasis server says, because it's Tenebris Tangle, and there is no night sky.
Hmm. Does it ever rain in TT?
I don't think so. I don't remember it ever raining. Probably because you're
I'm
above the...
Yeah, I'm tempted to get the island, but I've got so many other places. I don't know what to do with them all.
Yeah. I mean, if it was something that you got for free, you'd definitely get it, but you know, want to spend money on another house that you may not use.
I mean, I'm bad enough. I got the Pegasus, but I like my Pegasus a lot.
Oh, yeah. You love that thing.
I love it. Even with its little broken wing that I know eventually they'll fix.
Oh, we didn't mention that to Smed. Oh.
No, we've already... You guys did enough of it at Fanfare. I've got... I mean, Nobrin knows about it.
Nobrin knows about it. I told Greg. And hell, I even told one of the other lead designers and stuff like that about it. So
it's still
people know about
it. Get to it. Mm-hmm. You know, as long as they know about it, I'm happy.
Yep. So that's that. And, okay, I'm going to answer this on the air, actually. Necrotherian wanted to know about recording-relating questions. Do you have to edit noise out of your songs? Or are my mics good enough? I would say the room up here is pretty well... It's not soundproof, but it's enough that, you know, if the kid's watching TV downstairs, I don't get anything. And I'm not using a cheap mic. I mean, it's definitely not a very expensive mic, but I spent about $100 on the one that I'm using. And I've got a fan blowing on it directly right now, and you can't tell.
In that, you've got the, what's this thing? This preamp thingy.
Oh, yeah, I'm also using a, what's called a mini mixer. It's a mini mix karaoke machine. And that's what I use, I can control my bass and my treble and stuff like that with it. And also the reverb and stuff like that. Da, 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 da. And, yeah, I mean, if you're serious about recording and you go out, you spend $100 on a mic, it's going to reduce a lot of background noise. But you know what? The best advice I can give you for cutting out noise and stuff like that is get a windscreen. They're cheap. I mean, I got a bag of 5 of them at my local music store for like, you know, $10. They're cheap foam covers that go over your mic. And let me give you an example here. I have a fan blowing on the mic right now, and you can barely tell. Now let me take the cover off. Now you can hear like a low rumbling. Can you hear it, hon?
Barely.
Yeah, let me put it right up to it.
Okay, now I can hear it.
Alright. So that's without... Well, you probably can't tell in the... over the air like this, but it does help. Also... That is without. Put it back on. That's with. That was definitely noticeable.
So that cuts out a lot of the, you know, the, you know.
Yeah. That cuts a lot of that out. So, yeah, I mean, a good mic is going to help you a lot. And, of course, my recommendation is, you know, if you're going to be serious about it, but you can't afford studio quality stuff, get one of these little... pre-mixers. Mine's got a spot for 2 mics, individual volume controls, got an equalizer. I can even plug in an MP3 player to the back and hit a switch and have vocals removed if I really want. And it's got, you know, individual blah blah blah. It's got a meter right here so I can tell how loud I am. And it's got RCA jacks in the back. So you can
and of course your audio software.
Yep, I'm also using a multi-track audio software called, let me bring this up here. Mixcraft. Let me get the site information here about Mixcraft. Acoustica Mixcraft. And I'll post a link in the website there. So I do get asked this kind of thing every once in a while. There we go. Acoustica.com/Mixcraft. And that's what I use. I'm not using the newest version because I'm using version 4. Version 5's out, but you know what? 4 is working for me, and the only real difference between 4 and 5 is 5 has some video editing software to it, and I don't need that. As for the mixer, he's asking for information on the mixer. Hold on a second. It's on the bottom of the mixer. No, it's not. Where the heck is it?
Oh, it's the same one I got down here, isn't it?
Yeah, let me do a web search on it real quick. The company name is Behringer. Let's see here, let me look this up. Behringer Minix. I
We actually bought those at a karaoke store.
Did we?
Yes, you did. The big yellow box or place.
Huh.
No, we didn't. We got them online.
Yeah, we got them online. Now he's telling me, well, you could have just sent me an email about it. Meh, sorry, whatever. I don't know if they sell this anymore. I'm not seeing it online. Ah, it is on the back. Mix 800. But anyway, yeah. Ah, I think this is here. Yeah, that's it. Link that in the channel. Go. The Mix 800. And that's what I'm using. It works good. It does its purpose. There, put that back. Here we go. It works good and it does its purpose. What can I say? I mean, I used to plug a regular mic into my second computer and then go from one computer to the other, and the other one had blah 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 blah. But this works. And we have an announcement to make. Nasua of the Legion of Kithagor just got her Vasil the Mad, the mythical. So congratulations to Nasua for your mythical epic weapon. Woo! I don't have a sound effect for that, but we'll give him a ding. How's that?
Give him a ding.
There we go. There's your ding.
Now, didn't we have a contest?
Yes. In fact, we did have a contest, and we do have a winner. We had the poster contest, and the winner is Nightfire from the Arcane Masters, who did a parody poster of the Aliens movie poster.
That made me laugh. Read it. That was hilarious.
Let me get to it. Let's see here. And for the record, I did like the other one by Talia. I enjoyed that one just as well. But it was up to a vote. And it was very close, actually. It was off just by one. So let's see here. The alien one says, blah, 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 come on. Waiting for it to load. Here we go.
In the Forgotten Pools, no one can hear you scream. Sony Online Entertainment presents Alien.
And then she has a bunch of... starring... God, I can't pronounce most of these names. But I guess they're, GMs, and dev team, and stuff like that. Executive producers, Smoke Jumper, produced by Domino, G-Ninja, and Rothgar, and Pratton, music by Domino. I think, hey, that should have been music by Jethel! And she did actually want me to... Let me find it here. If I can. She wanted me to mention someone that she forgot to put on the poster. Now I can't remember who. I'm looking it up.
Yeah, the one about the pools made me laugh. So I've been there quite a bit lately.
She wanted me to apologize for her to Fireflight, who she forgot to mention on the poster. Not sure. I'm sorry to say I don't know who Fireflight is or what they do, but Nightfire is Yeah, sorry, she did not mention you on the poster. Are you familiar with Firefleet?
Do what?
Are you familiar with the dev code named Fireflight? I'm not.
No.
I don't know that one. So I apologize for that. Perhaps you could pop into game and shake your fist at me and go, "I'm Firefleet, you ass." Yes. So there we go. But I did enjoy the other one. Damn it! I closed the tab.
They were all really awesome.
That I closed the tab. I did enjoy the one by Talia from Butcher Block. It was a screenshot going into Nectropolis Castle called
"Sometimes accepting a dare can be hazardous to your health. One night at the castle alone."
She did a very good job. And like I said, Nightfire won by one vote. And, yeah, I mean, Talia did a great job. Maybe next time?
We'll make sure that they both get really good things.
Yeah. And, Santana from Sony Online Entertainment submitted one herself, but she was not eligible for the...
No, but it was still nice to have them submit something. It was fun to look at.
Yeah, it was.
I like that one.
Yeah, it's really funny.
Yep, the Rigor. If Chief Rancor doesn't wake up screaming, he won't wake up at all. A nightmare in Eastern Wastes. Revenge of the Snow Bunny.
Dun dun dun.
That's funny.
See, people would have to remember EQ1, where there was snow bunnies out there all over the place, and you had to go kill them.
Well, wait a minute, that's right, we don't have snow bunnies and Delios here. What the hell?
I don't know.
Well,
we got snow bunny hats and things.
Maybe when Western Wastes comes.
No actual snow buddy.
No snow buddies, yeah. All right, folks, you know what? That's it.
No, it isn't.
What? What did I forget?
Well, don't forget Tinkerfest, which is going to be, what, coming out Friday?
Oh, that's right. Tinkerfest and a double experience weekend starting on Friday. Both Tinkerfest and a double experience weekend.
And Denmom has done it again with this year's look at all the fun things that you can do and all the stuff that can go boom.
Mm-hmm.
During EQ2's 2011 Tinkerfest, so you want to go over to EQ2.EQTraders.com and check out the write-up she's got, and she's got pictures of all the goodies and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
EQTraders.com is a great place to go for all your trading needs, crafting needs. She's crafty.
Because the damn mama's got it going on, baby.
She is. You need to put a link for that up on Kithacord. Damn
I
it.
Did.
Okay.
I did, like...
I know, I Facebooked it and linked it out.
Right.
It looks like there's some cool cloaks this time.
Mm-hmm.
There's some stuff that you have to be a high level of Tinker to do. And those are the cloaks.
Well, it is Tinkerfest.
You know, there's so many cool things. And now I got all these other houses I can do shit in. They've got, like, a Tinker Distillery column and Tinker Distillery Furnace and Tinker Distillery Pipes. I mean, you could create this brew factory with all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. It looked good.
Speaking of, the Tinker cloaks are supposed to be animated, I believe.
Oh?
I think so. Let me double check. There's a Tinker backpack, too. Let's see. The two powered cloaks have animated moving parts, are tradable, and give a plus 25 to tinkering bonus.
Oh.
There's three tinkered weapons, which are upgrades to the Rusty quest rewards you get from the Tinker Fest quests. And then there's a backpack that's 36 slot lore.
Mm.
The cloaks in the pack require Cogbot tinkered mechanicalized frameworks. So if you're like me who, you know, you get the books and you go out and get all the little doodads that you need to use to you know, craft later, you're going to want to also get some of these Cogbot Tinker mechanized frameworks so you can craft later when you want them.
And it looks to me like whoever came up with the weapons that you can tinker up is a fan of Doctor Who.
It looks like it, huh?
Yep, because there is a sonic drill. Not a sonic screwdriver, which
no,
is trademarked.
No, sonic drill.
It's a sonic drill. What is that? It's a screwdriver. Really?
In this case, it's a sonic drill.
The sonic drill.
All right, anything else before we get out? My voice is giving away here.
Oh, I know. There's a couple of new things in the marketplace I thought was kind of like, interesting.
Yes, by all means. Do a slash marketplace.
There is a Brewmaster set of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Click on new, and there's a whole bunch of new stuff there, new furniture. Including the Tenebris Island deed of ownership, which is 1350 station cash. It was there, and the kilt crate is still there, but there's a whole bunch of Brewmaster stuff, and the Allosaur.
Looking at that Shield of the Soul Scorned?
Uh-huh.
That's cool. I don't even use shields, and I think it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's a whole Brewmaster kit. I love the Brewmaster bit. That is cool looking. I mean, that's something I know Doofa would just absolutely kill to have.
Yeah, let me take a look here.
It's a bed with a cask as a headboard.
I don't even have to get out of bed anymore!
No, you don't. And the benches
it up
are...
to me, Vane!
The benches are very nice. I like the gold inlay on the top on these.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
So right. Yeah, there's a whole kit you can get with this.
All right, seriously, my voice is giving out here. Gotta go. All right, folks, thank you very much for tuning in. We had a great show this week. Say goodnight, Elkin.
Goodnight, Elkin.
Well, that's it. You've wasted another night listening to the Jethel Silverwing Show. I'm your host, Jethel Silverwing.
I'm Elkin Jenna.
I'm the Drunken Dwarf!
And I'm Cheese Aunt Nibblebun!
This show is brought to you by Online Gaming Radio. Our technical advisor is Spike Link Death. Facts and Intelligence brought to us by The Grassy Knoll. The Jethel Show is produced by
a 4-pound jar of jelly beans,
two badgers,
a package of expired Twinkies,
a sack of walnuts,
Biff, the weird guy who hands out free candy behind the school in a long trench coat down the street, and a small rock.
Yay, rock!
Be sure to catch the show every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and 2 a.m. in the U.K.
There's a 2 a.m.? Why doesn't anyone tell me these things?
So, for myself, the Drunken Dwarf, Cheez-It, and my love Elkin Jenna, keep your arrows in the air and your feet on the ground.